Let's talk about the musculature that affects the spine. Specifically, we're going to talk about the two joint muscles that affect the spine. In the lower half of the spine, we have to think about the musculature that moves us in a way that affects the knee and the hip, or affects the hip and the back. And specifically, there's a couple sets of muscles that really influence what happens to the back. In the front, we have this muscle, one of the quad heads. So the quadricep is the front muscle on your leg. It has four different heads to it, quadricep. And one of those quadricep heads is called the rectus femoris, right? And rectus means what? Strap. Femur, strap of the femur. And that one attaches to this pelvis. And you have a couple bumps on your pelvis that are big attachments for muscles. And on the lower bump, right there, that's where that muscle comes in, that rectus femoris. Okay? So when I talk, you understand that you need to know that, because that guy crosses the knee and crosses the hip in the front. And it is responsible for a lot of knee dysfunction that we're going to get to a little bit later. If that rectus is tight, and I do this, I've just taken all the slack out of the system with my knee winding up, because that muscle crosses here. And what's it done here? Stolen it. When we see our athletes in the bottom position of a squat, and that knee comes forward a little bit as they drive up, they end up with a vicious killer apophysitis, or feels like a tendinitis, but it's actually an injury of that rectus femoris pulling off the bone a little bit, and you get this wicked hot hip flexor stuff when you squat. Anyone have that? Has anyone had that? Yeah, that's hard to get rid of, isn't it? And what we see is that our athletes are in the bottom position, knee comes forward a little bit as they stand up, and what's happened is, whoop, put that under big tension and pulled here. And it's time to illustrate this concept. If I have a muscle, what do you guys do with these? Right. I know. If you have a muscle from both ends attached, in this case, it's the rectus femoris at the knee. So that's your quad, that's the patella, and this is the hip flexor, okay? So this is the base of that insertion of that muscle, goes right down here onto your tibia, your lower leg. If this thing is under peak tension, and then my kneecap comes forward a little bit like I'm squatting, this is called a vector pull. Do you guys remember your basic physics? If you have a big load, mechanical load, like a car is stuck out in a ditch and you put as many people on as you can, and you lock that thing off, if you just get my little three-year-old to pull in the middle of that system just a little bit, you can affect gigantic changes of force on either end of the system. By just applying a little force in the middle of a system under tension, you can basically quadruple, pentuple the forces at either end of the load, the anchor. Does that make sense to everyone? Everyone believe me? Kneecap is one of those loads. So I have this gigantic loaded system. I've got 500 pounds on the bar someday. And my knee comes forward. What happens at this end? There's not a lot of slack to be given here. Well, I compress my kneecap gigantically, and I end up pulling here at the hip. And it comes under big, big tension. So we end up with that fault here of that wicked, wicked hip flexor strain, or apophysitis, where that thing gets pulled forward. And if that's you, chances are your knees are coming forward in your squat. That's a sidetrack. This concept is going to come up again when we talk about shoulder and talk about the knee. Other muscles that cross the hip and the knee. There's some other ones we need to talk about specifically that affect the low back are what? Hamstrings. Big time. So now we've just gone into quads and hamstrings a little bit, right? And they don't just run the lower system, they run the upper system. And if I am short at this end and take up all of that slack, what ends up happening? Then I'm going to lose it at the back. And so you need to be thinking about how the system is under tension from both sides. We talked about the shoulder a little bit, and if my shoulders were tight, I tended to do this, which tended to put me in a bad position. Well, if my hamstrings are tight, right, then I'm going to end up doing this business. And if your head is one of those heads that comes up in the squat, in the deadlift, while you row, chances are you are one of those people with tight hamstrings. And that's one of our mnemonics for catching that stuff. When you see athletes give away the neck, chances are they have a short hamstring. So write that down. You see that neck fault? And think, oh, I need to look at their hamstrings. And what you'll see is that we, as we already explained, that is if my head comes back into this position, it allows me to unlock my pelvis. So if I've unlocked my pelvis, what have I done for my hamstrings? I've given myself some room. That hamstring attaches at the back of the knee here, the lower leg, right, crosses the knee, and it runs right up onto that big bump, your sit bone, that ischial tuberosity. That's your sit bone. Everyone sit tall for me. Ramrod straight. Feel your sit bones. Jam back and forth on your sit bones. You feel those things? Yeah? No problem. Sit ramrod straight for me again. Okay? Now, flex your head. Try to let your pelvis rock back. Okay? Now sit tall for me. Ramrod straight. Try to let your pelvis flex back. Okay, sit tall. Look up. Let your pelvis flex back. Whoa. You guys see that? Once again, head controls pelvis a little bit there. And so one cue for people with tight hamstrings is, hey, let's keep that head back in line. All right? So one mnemonic for tight hamstrings. And if I can control that thoracic spine, I control the cervical spine, I help control the thoracic spine, I help control the lumbar spine, and now I'm in a better neutral position here.